We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Right on time. Blue Dabs, first one in the chat. Luke Stuckmar, Cody Delmendo, and Ryan Herrera as we talk more about the Cubs. And, geez, look, you realize that pitchers and catchers report in less than a month now.
Yep.
Isn't it a beautiful thing?
I mean, that's getting close.
Yeah.
The offseason's almost over. I'm getting kind of antsy, I'm not going to lie.
You're getting a little anxious?
Getting a little antsy. And getting like I've kind of been ready. After
Before I knew I was going to be sitting in this studio doing this show with you guys last year, I was not nearly as excited about the 2022 season as I am about the 2023 season. And the only reason I got up for the 2022 season was because someone DM'd me and asked me, hey, do you want to do a Cubs podcast and do it live in studio in the West Loop 5 days a week with Luke Stuckmeyer and Ryan Herrera? And I was like, okay, I can get up for this season. So,
and yeah, we'll pay you.
Yeah, and we'll pay you.
That's the best part.
But as a fan, I definitely am a lot more excited about this team this season compared to last. So.
I'm excited about the change in attitude of Blue Dabs 420. The positivity is there today. He's he's excited to be here. We're on time. He says showtime, and he's calling Cody Del Punctual. Everything's turned around.
Yeah.
See, one Cubs convention and one extra Mancini signing has turned the positivity on for the Cubs fan base.
Shout out to Pitch and Catch Podcasts. I came across one of their TikToks, and the guy who does the podcast, he was wearing a Cubs hat. He was wearing it backwards, and it was like that. It was like that 70s pinstripe blue color, the jersey. It was like kind of color hat. And I commented on it last night and was like, we need to see the front of this hat because I was intrigued.
Right.
And he commented back saying, Cody, I love the CHGO Cubs podcast. And it felt cool.
There we go.
It felt cool for a second. Shout out to him in the chat right now.
Glad to have the Pitch and Catch podcast on right now.
Good luck to your podcast as well.
Yeah.
Tom Green says, hi there, guys. Let's talk about mostly defense today, right? Like, there's a lot of different topics we're going to hit. We're going to bring you some more clips of interviews from Cubs convention. We're going to including one from Cody where he became a man of the people. He took over Cubs convention. He was the Bob Barker, if you will. It was like his own beer money almost. He took over. He hit Cubs convention. He had a little tiny microphone, and he hit a lot of hard-hitting questions.
We need a little microphone, but with a little thing on it that has like the logo, the CHGO logo on it. You need one of those.
You need the skinny Bob Barker microphone, the tiny, long, like.
Yeah.
Michael Bolling was walking around Cubs convention with something similar, except it had like the Cubs logo on it.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you call those types of microphones. I was like, we need one of those, except for this says CHGO on it.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. So anyways, we're gonna play that as well, his TikTok video from Cubs convention, which was fun. But, you know, I think one question we can look at this offseason is just we know they're better at defense, right? Like, on paper, this team will be much better defensively than it was last year. I think back to, not to pick on VR, but I think of just errors, right? Like, you could think of error after error that came last year, and you're like, wow, this team could be a lot better defensively. They've done that. Part of it's the rule changes. Part of it was a game plan. Part of it just happened. But I guess the bigger question is, how far can good defense really carry you? How much can good defense overcome other inefficiencies that this team might have offensively? Do you think they could be the best defense in baseball, Ryan?
I think they're trending up defensively. I know there's definitely still questions at multiple spots, like third base is still kind of a question mark. And
it's a big question mark, honestly.
I mean, catcher feels good as far as, like, the soft factors and tangibles. It's hard to measure a lot of other things with catching than it is with just regular or other positions. First base seems to be trending up, but, I mean, Hosmer's not the Gold Glove first baseman he was. Trey Mancini isn't a Gold Glove caliber first that probably at this point. Mervis, if he does come up, like, he's also not seen as, like, a great first baseman defensively. So, those corner spots are kind of questions at this point. But then you got Nico and Dansby at second and short. And I know on my predictions I made a couple weeks back that both those guys will win Gold Gloves. You know, kind of bold, but definitely possible. Ian Happ coming off a Gold Glove and left. Cody Bellinger potentially could be, a very good defender, if not Gold Glove caliber, in center field, because he's still relatively young, considering how long he's been in the league. And then Seiya was a multiple-time Gold Glover in Japan, which is a little different, and right field at Wrigley Field is a lot tougher to play. But just looking at that starting lineup, there's a lot of really good defenders throughout the field. So as far as, where the top defensive teams go, I could see the Cubs definitely moving into, somewhere near the top, because they have, if not current Gold Glovers, former Gold Glovers, or just guys that know how to play defense well, even if they're not Gold Glove caliber. And that's going to go a long way towards just, this whole focus on defense this offseason. As it kind of played out, we started to kind of understand, like, that's where Jed and Carter, that's where the Cubs are going. And you could see that they've put a lot of good defensive players around the field, and I think that's just overall is going to help this team a lot.
It's combined 9 Gold Gloves, not all just at one position, right? Like, when you had Ryan Sandberg, you had this pile of Gold Gloves, but did you have the Gold Gloves around him? Not necessarily. Now you've got them kind of spread around the field.
So, you mentioned the defense at first and third base and how it's obviously a question. And it reminds me of this story from Andy Martinez I wrote over the weekend related to Nick Madrigal playing third base. And this, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with Nick Madrigal playing third base. But the point is he mentions how when they had Javi Baez, sometimes, depending on who the pitcher was for the Cubs, if the lineup would have a heavy right-handed lineup, they'd put Baez at third sometimes. And this is more in like 2017, 2018, I want to say, when they did this. So if they had a pull-heavy side on the right side, they'd put him at third base. Sometimes to put Chris Bryant in the outfield. And with the questions that the Cubs have at third base right now, I'm intrigued to see how they do that. And maybe that might be the only reason that they would even play Madrigal at third base.
Like, if you're saying a heavy lefty lineup that's going to pull the ball to the right side,
you're not
going to
see much action.
That what you mean? Like, if it's
a heavy righty lineup, if you say you got a lefty on the mound and you got a heavy righty lineup, that means more pulled balls to the left side towards Swanson or third base.
Are you talking about Madrigal at second or Madrigal at third?
Madrigal at third or just anyone.
If you're going third, you'd want a lefty heavy lineup because they're going to be pulling most balls towards the right side, and any balls that kind of go left are going to be softer hit, easier for him as far as range, maybe a little more time to get a throw off. Without him having to dial late in the game,
right?
I think I'm
confusing myself.
I think you are, because that would make more sense to me if you're playing third base. If you put him at third in a lineup where most of the balls are going to be pulled to Nico's side, to the right side, where you can have him out there, you can have his bat in the lineup, but you're also the risk of every ball getting hit at him is going to be less so, just because they're all lefties, probably going to pull the ball more often than not. I think that's...
I guess...
I agree, but either way, your point is taken. Like, I didn't know that about Javi. Like, that's why they would put him at third, and they would put Bryant in the outfield, because you wanted to have a stronger third baseman, someone that would be more likely to make the plays. And in this case, it might be the opposite. Maybe you can hide the weaker defensive player by when you're seeing players pull it the other direction. I don't know. I think it's fascinating.
Interesting, because again, they don't have like a everyday third baseman. Like, I would say Wisdom will probably be starting there opening day. But we've talked about Morrell. We've talked about McKinstry. We'll see if McKinstry's still on the team come opening day, right? But, you know, I think that who's playing third and first base every day is really not only going to be based upon matchups for the pitcher, but also how they want to align defense. Because we know Swanson and Nico are going to be out there every single day. So,
well, I think, you know, when you talk about 9 gold gloves, I just don't think there's going to be too many teams that can say that they have 9 gold gloves spread out at, let's see, what different positions you have.
Left, short,
left, center, catcher, and first, right, at 5 different positions.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Barnhart have one too?
Yeah, I say catcher. Yeah.
Oh, you did say catcher.
I think so. Anyways, but that's pretty. That's a pretty diverse defensive team. Ian Happ was asked about the Cubs' focus on defense and how that seems to have, sort of developed in the offseason. This is what he had to say at Cubs convention to reporters.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been talked about a lot. And I think that with the new rules, it's something that is definitely kind of top of mind. People are wondering how the shift rules and the pace of play is going to affect that. And I think the defense is going to be a big, big part of it. And Jaden Carter has done a good job of getting ahead of that. And I think it's exciting. You know, Haas has a bunch of them, obviously. You got Barnhart, Dansby and I, Nico's right there, and Belly. And so to have that solid group that's done it at this level and at the big leagues, been at a high level in the big leagues, is super exciting. It's something that those teams in 15, 16, 17, 18, they were built on that. You know, the guys banged. Like, there were some weapons there, but I mean, playing great defense was so much fun with that group, and I think that you're going to see a lot of that this year, and a lot of energy out there for some really good defensive plays.
So I don't know if that's, you know, the defense is enough to carry the team to a division title, but I do think it's good for one thing. It's for sanity of the fans, because there is nothing more frustrating. Like, it's enjoyable to see home runs and stuff, but there's nothing that ticks off a fan base more than the booted ball, the dropped ball, the throw that goes into the stands, kind of goes all over the place. You mentioned Hosmer, and I would agree that he's not the necessarily at this stage of his life the gold glove first baseman that he was before, but I do think it's a position where defense can age very well, right? Like, it's not like saying he needed to be the same shortstop, or as you watch Jason Hayward still be a good outfielder, he wasn't necessarily the outfielder that was winning gold gloves before because of the range, for one. So I think Hosmer can definitely benefit whoever is over at third base. Like, if it's Morrell, we've said, would benefit from being at third base more often than bouncing all over the place. If it's Patrick Wisdom, we've actually seen some good defense out of Patrick Wisdom. It just seemed like last year it got off the rails for a little bit. But I think there is potential for him to be a pretty good third baseman.
Well, we saw him, Wisdom, 2021
His defense in 2021 was good.
Was good. The strong arm, but on point throws, was making most of the plays, like even charging in, whatever. And then things went off the rails a little bit in 2022. But knowing that he had a pretty good defensive season in 2021, you kind of look at it like, was 2022 the outlier, and he's actually a good defender at third base, and he could be a useful player there, or was 2021 the outlier, and now we're just kind of seeing what he truly is. That's one of the parts that I'm curious to see in 2022 as far as, can Wisdom prove he's actually a really good defender at the hot corner, or is he going to be a below-average defender there?
I'm also intrigued just to see how he plays, because I don't remember who I heard talking about this, but when Wisdom's surrounded by other good players, you can see the value that he brings. And last year, he was kind of like He was their main power threat. Yeah. And now you got some guys in there that are at least better than what the Cubs had in the lineup last year. So if he can bring that defense back from 2021 and continue to cut down on that strikeout rate, which comparably to 2021, he did improve on last season. No matter how many times y'all want to yell about his strikeouts in the chat, he did improve on it. So if he can do those two things, then maybe by midseason we're not really complaining about third base as much as you think we might be. You know what I mean? But again, that's a big if. And you know, if he wants to be part of this organization moving forward, like in a bigger role, then like he's just gonna have to do that. That's, you know, I don't see the Cubs cutting ties with him anytime soon, unless things get just completely drop off. But
or it comes down to roster spots. But he provides power that they desperately lack on paper, right?
Yeah,
I've seen some talk about some guys talking about Hap and at second base. And when we talked to him on the podcast before the holidays, you know, he even mentioned that it was difficult to move around to different positions. And once he got put strictly in left field, he was really able to hone his skills in left field and become a gold glover in left field. I don't think you're ever going to see Ian Happ go back to second base.
No.
I think they have enough guys that can play infield second base that they would not. I think you'd see Ian Happ DH before you'd see him go back to second base. But why, when you have him playing gold glove level left field? Like, who else is going to do that in left field for
him? And he openly said that being able to play one position really helped him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and just there's no – and then this goes to him having potentially moved back to center field this year. I've seen the whole – you can move Happ to second base when Brennan Davis comes up. Like, it was just all kind of don't fix something that's not broken. He had a great year in left field, and if he's potentially part of the rest, you know, this future next great Cubs team, it's just don't, like, leave him in left field. That was a position he broke out at. Just don't fix what's not broken. Let him do that. Let him see if he can add another gold glove this year. Like, it's just all these other these tinkering the roster to try to, I don't even know why. It's just he had an awesome year at left field. Let's just leave it at that and let him keep doing that.
Remember the video we played already this week of Mark Grace telling the story about Sean Dunstan when he came up, and how when he first came up, he would chuck it all the way to Addison, and he was like, "Listen, man, the only way I can help you is if you put it in the dirt, I can pick it." And that's another thing that popped in my mind about whoever is going to play third base for the Cubs. Hosmer can still pick it. When you get old, you can still pick it, right? Like, you might not have the range to dive and get a ball down the line or dive and get a ball that's deep towards the grass, but you'll still have that ability to go pick a ball. So some of the throws that were errant throws from third base last year, you hope improve because, A, the guy worked on it in the offseason. B, he's playing the position more. C, he's more focused on it this year. And D, you got a better first baseman over there a lot of times. Mm-hmm. That's the hope. Now, again, you mentioned Mervis. We just don't know if he comes up. Will Mervis do DH time? We'll see. But I think defensively, they're a better team. And then part of the other reason that you see the Cubs focusing on defense clearly is rule changes. Now, you're going to have a pitching staff that, again, pitches to contact a lot. So you're going to have to be more flexible defensively. You're going to have to be better defensively because you can't just pile everybody over on the right side if it's a pull hitter on that side of the field. Here was Jed Hoyer talking about the new rules and the way he thinks they may impact the Cubs this season.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, I do think that we make a big deal about these rules, and like, we're just turning back the clock all of like 6 years. You know, I mean, I do think that this is how we play baseball forever, other than against, like, you know, Giambi and Ortiz. So I do feel like this is kind of normal, but it is. It's true. Like, you have to have real athleticism, and I think we have that in the middle. We'll turn a lot of double plays. We'll make a lot of plays. And, you know, certainly I think there are teams out there that will be disadvantaged with that. And also, offensively, I do think we have hopefully have some hitters that will benefit from that as well. So, I mean, listen, we had a couple guys like Rizzo and Schwarber in the past that really would benefit from those rules and will benefit from those rules. But I mean, the left-handed hitter has sort of been disadvantaged for quite a while. I mean, with the shift rules, they hit with a different strike zone. It's been a little bit unfair, and I think we need to get, as a sport, the left-handed hitter deserves a few advantages now.
The first thing that I chuckled about while watching that was that he mentions the fact that how much better this is going to be for Kyle Schwarber, and I just want to, you know, like, yes, I know, and he walked away. But that's another story, another podcast. And for yes, the Fish Slayer's asking, is this water in a Starbucks cup? I had tea in it. This is white tea, obviously. No, it's water, man. I just refilled the cup. I'm using the same cup. Save the planet.
It's just not all vodka.
There was iced tea in it. Now it's just water. No, I'm not drinking. It's true. We don't have a vodka deal at the moment.
At 140.
Shout out
on
to Goose
Wednesday.
Island, though. You know, we like them. Anyways, I don't know if the rule changes are going to have as big an impact on the game as maybe we think they are, but I don't think it's ever a bad idea to be better defensively.
Yeah.
Especially if that's an area where you look at the market and say, well, we're not going to be able to add this, but we can still improve our team exponentially this way and this way.
I am intrigued to see how teams, like, situationally, how they play things, because for years and years, so many people always complained about Schwarber and how he wouldn't just lay down a bunt down the third base line, you know, if, you know, the Cubs had two outs and a runner on, yeah, and you're trying to get a guy in a scoring position or something. Like, that's not even that great of an example. But just the amount of time so many people complained about that. And now, with the shift being gone, I'm intrigued to see how teams do things situationally, because I think it could go back to a little old school.
It could, for sure. By the way, is this a shot? Joel saying I look like a peached iced tea kind of guy? First of all, peached iced tea is delicious, but sounds I don't good. Go with the sweetened teas anymore because I haven't had a sweet in 17 days.
17 days?
Only
huh?
AG1.
17 days.
I had a Do-Right donut yesterday. So.
Oh, what a slap in the face that is.
Adam and I.
Why would you even say that? Now it's in my head.
I even went to the one right here in the West Loop.
Anyways. So one of the ways we know that the Cubs got better defensively is by taking a guy who was good enough to win the Gold Glove last year, Nico Hoerner, which was one of the great surprises and pleasant surprises of last season, right? We didn't know what to expect from him at short. People didn't think he'd have the arm. He did have the arm, and if it wasn't for Dansby Swanson, he might have won the Gold Glove. Dansby Swanson comes in. Nico says, I'll move to second, where you know he could also win a Gold Glove at second base because he's played at second before. We have Nico Hoerner talking about his move to second base at Cubs Convention via Ryan Herrera.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, too, is just coming into this season, I think the game is emphasizing athleticism as much as we've had for a long time. And so getting to play second base without three people on that side of the field, and it's going to make for some harder plays, I think. I think it's going to be a lot of value at that position, and excited to do it. Yeah, excited to see what that looks like.
Did you literally, whatever you were working on for shortstop, change that when they signed him to work on at second base?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have been continuing to prepare at shortstop, but it's really not all that different for me. I think I trust most shortstops in baseball to play second base at a pretty high level if they were asked to, and still being ready to play shortstop, because I think if you're able to do that, you can do most things on the field, and so keeping that mentality, but obviously focusing now on the details of second base, the turns, the feeds, and it's a different side of the field. So, but I think being on that side of the field for the shift last year, it'll make it a little more seamless.
And we have a super chat coming super out of that, chat. Huh? Wow. Bear Forever 14 with a 20 bucks.
Well, keep sending them, so they send us to London.
Somebody Woo! Had a good holiday season.
Seriously,
somebody
man.
Got a holiday bonus at the end of the year. Curious what your expectations were going into the 2016 World Series season. Did you realistically believe they were a World Series contender before that season started? I did.
I did,
yeah,
too.
I did,
100%.
For sure. 2015, you were like, they made it all the way to the NLCS, yeah, and it was a young team where you were like,
yeah,
they've got it.
I think that's the thing is, like, until that, like, because that was, what, in August when they swept that four games against the Giants in 15 and then went on that run to the NLCS. If that didn't happen, if they maybe snuck into the wild card, right, weren't that good, like, whatever, if that didn't happen, probably would – I mean, I would have known they were contenders. I would not have thought of them as, like, legit World Series favorites had that 2015 last two, 3 months not happened. But as soon as it did, you were like, all these guys are rookies and they're awesome. Like, you knew that there was a really good shot in 2016.
Going into 2015, that offseason, I wouldn't have said 2016 they might win the World Series. I just would have thought they were going to be good, kind of like where we're at now.
I think,
like,
it was looking at 2017. Was like 2017. Yeah.
Everyone thought 2016 was going to be what happened in 2015.
Right, but once that team got in the postseason and then beat the Cardinals, you were like, And then when they got to the NLCS, it was...
I just remember spring training that year. There was a lot of... Cubs had a lot of hype. ESPN was all over them, and there was a lot of videos of the guys just, like, hanging out, dancing and all that. And, man, did I keep a lot of receipts of people saying that this isn't how the way baseball should be played or some shit like that from Cardinal fans. So
it's not the Cardinals' way.
One of the more pettier things I've ever done, but... it actually ended well for me, so...
There you go.
Yeah.
Who just said, Nico busting out the Spock turtleneck is pimp. Do you ever think I'd say that on this podcast?
I know.
Pimp.
That picture, that screen grab of Nico and Swanson next to each other from the Friday night ceremonies blew up on our Twitter account because those guys, they got the hair and they dress well. They dressed well that night.
We knew.
So does Bellinger too, right?
Yeah, Bellinger. They all dressed well, honestly.
But about what Nico said on the video.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's the super chat. It's a little off track. I think they all realize just with the rules, the banning of the shift, even the smaller bases potentially, like there are, you know, the pitch clock and pit, you know, step off limits, all that stuff, that they all work in concert to make defense more valuable and the ability to play good defense more valuable. And everyone on the Cubs right now is like, even though they haven't experienced the rule changes yet because they don't come till this year, they understand it. So a guy like Nico, and we've talked about like him, you know, graciously moving to second base as a leadership quality, but it's also like, hey, like second base is going to be, the defense at second base is going to be a lot more valuable than it was the last few years because there's nobody shifting over. So even though he's not playing at shortstop, which is like the premium defensive position, he's still going to be playing a pretty premium defensive position on the right side. That's only going to be him. So I think him realizing that also played into the fact that, like, he was going to be okay moving to second base regardless because that's the kind of team player he is. But it also helped him, like, I know I could play great defense at second base anyway, but now it's going to be me. And, like, that just kind of shows the confidence level in himself that, like, he hasn't played there in a few years. You know, specifically, he did shift over there during the season, but whatever. But he still knows he could play very high level defense there, and I like the confidence in that. That it's a position he knows he can move over and not really miss a beat.
Essentially, two gold glove shortstops up the middle.
Yeah.
That's especially with this pitching staff because they're going to put the ball on the ground and put balls in play more often than not. When you look at last year. And we talked about the errors and things they weren't doing well, and they were losing close games. And you say, well, geez, they're bad at base running. They're bad defensively. They're bad offensively. The one thing they could hang their hat on is their pitching was decent, right? And some of the times we would sit here on post-game shows, and whether it was the chat or us or Discords or Twitter, the question would become, do you blame David Ross for this? This team is not fundamentally sound because one of the things they were bad at was defense, right? Yeah. They were booting the ball all over the place, making mental errors. And I think the reaction, if you look at it, should have been most of the time, they don't have good enough players. This isn't, I don't think, as much mental lapses as this is what happens when guys aren't good Major League Baseball players. They're good baseball players because they made it to the Major League level, but they aren't good enough all-around players to make some of those plays. Well, they've addressed that. So you may not have all of the off-season moves that you wanted this year, but they have brought in guys that have shown that they are very good at certain things, at the very least. At the basement of the free agent signing, you're getting good defensive players. So I'll be really surprised and really disappointed if this team isn't one of the top five defensively in baseball.
I think it bodes well for them in April, at least, because you know how offense goes in April. Yeah. Wrigley, there are so many games we watched where the defense really just, like, I'm sorry, but Jonathan Villar, that one game where he's where he had like two errors. I think Stroh started that game. After that game, everyone was yelling about how Stroh was a bust signing, and everyone just decided to forget about the fact that Jonathan Villar had like two or three errors in that game, and everything just blew up after he had those errors.
Yeah.
And that's just one. That's just one game. Yeah. Justin Steele, there was some bad defense in some of the starts he had earlier in the year. I think this defense, the shirt up defense, can surely at least keep the Cubs in games and allow their starters to stay in longer.
Well, and that's right. You made the point about April at Wrigley. Like, offense is hard to come by at Wrigley in April. It's cold. There's days when it's windy and all that stuff.
Blowing in.
And so if you have, like, if you have the guys on the field that can limit whatever potential offense might come in those games, that's going to bode really well for you. Because if you have the good pitching, you have the good defense. Yeah, in the summer months at Wrigley, like, you want to have the power because the wind's not blowing in. Yeah, you know, Wrigley's not a huge ballpark. Now you can, if you have the power lineup, you can hit a lot of home runs and put up a lot of numbers during the summer. In the cold weather, it's different, and you want to have the pitching and the defense, which is, again, why 2016 worked so well, because they had such an awesome mix of all mm-hmm. three of those things. But right now, as far as the Cubs go, the power, we're still kind of looking at where that's going to come from. We have a few answers to that puzzle, but not everyone. But as far as defense and pitching go, in April, early May, you know, late September, whatever, like, you're thinking, like, when the offense is hard to come by, this defense is going to make it even harder for other teams to score.
Yeah, Andy is pointing out, or Carlos is pointing out, Andy Green works with the infielders. Yeah, my point about blaming somebody for the bad defense last year is that I wouldn't blame any of the coaches mm-hmm. last year, because I think the players just weren't good enough on the roster.
Yeah,
now that you've brought in guys that you have a combined 9 gold gloves spread out around your field, now if they're bad defensively this year, now I can start to point the finger, look for areas to point the finger. Why is this guy not good defensively? Why are they not working well as a double play? Like, if Dansby and Nico aren't good defensively this year, now you start to look and say, well, why? Why aren't they preaching this? Why aren't they practicing this? Why aren't they being held accountable? You're getting closer to a time when you're going to be able to really evaluate other parts of David Ross as a manager, whereas last year, I think all you could look at, in my opinion, is how hard are they playing down the stretch, right? Like, whether it was the lineups that you wanted to judge, or whether it was the defense you wanted to judge, or the base running you wanted to judge, you have to go back and also look at the players and sometimes say, well, the players that were on the field just aren't good enough players. And it may have nothing to do with the coaching or the defense. If you put me out there at second base, I'm going to make an error on every single play, no matter how much David Ross or Andy Green is coaching me or staying on top of me, because I'm not talented.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that
or
I ever
talented
gave,
enough.
The only thing I ever gave David Ross flack for was continuously playing Jason Hayward and Andrelton Simmons and Jonathan Villar as the season went along. And I understand they were trying to trade two of those three guys, but to me it got to a point where it's like, why are we still doing this? That's the only thing I really have against David Ross from last season as far as, like, what his job is. So
okay, I do want.
Just being honest.
I agree. I would agree with you. I want to get to a little bit of offense talk coming up after a break here. But first, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade their outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights, learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through mobile devices, and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and networked lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. Visit comed.com/poweringbiznow to start saving money and energy and to start a project. You can contact them right away at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, you can email them at businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. And I'll just tell you this. The new studio lighting we have, guys, I'm going to start bringing in the Shady Rays.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Beautiful in here.
They're in my backpack over there. I could go grab them. They're a little just kind of just too far for me to want to mm-hmm. get up from my seat and go get them. But Shady Rays, awesome. This new lighting.
Best.
You know, sometimes you might need it.
Yeah.
You might need it. You're going to need it if you're at the ballpark this season. You know, sitting in the bleachers, definitely going to need Shady Rays. Go get your Shady Rays, because they never understood why sunglasses were so expensive. So they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall, because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You drop them in the lake or off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still manage to make quality that I can tell you, holding in my hand, seems just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. You get free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's buy one, get one free. BOGO, you can get two pairs for as low as $54. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Very nice, Shady Rays. We love you. By the way, if you could make some readers, I'd appreciate that, because I could use free replacements because I break them and lose them all the time.
I'm willing to bet they do. Prescription Shady Rays.
These are just the cheap ones you get at like Walgreens. And when I say cheap, I mean like 30 bucks. But geez, I go through them. Looks like once a month I'm buying $30 readers at Walgreens.
Yeah, right. See, that's what I'm saying. Prescription sunglasses right there.
Yeah, but these aren't prescription glasses. These are just like a magnifier.
Oh.
They just have a lens that's like one time stronger than just like looking through glass.
Does Shady Rays do that?
I don't know. I need to look into it. Yeah. Call our Shady Rays rep.
Yeah.
Find out
because I could use some free replacements, let me tell you. So, you know, we talked a lot, and I see somebody asked earlier in the chat, are we going to talk bullpen? There'll be a lot more bullpen talk tomorrow. And maybe a little bit at the end of this show, but it's not necessarily the focus of this particular podcast. We've been talking defense off the top. Now the question becomes, how valuable can it be? And yeah, we have all this defense, but are they going to lack offense, right? Like, so that was the question to Jed Hoyer on The Score. He was on the Parkins and Spiegel show, and they asked him, you know, do you have enough offense? And Jed had a pretty honest answer. He said, listen, I think that's a valid question. Do we have enough power? I think it's a question when you talk about stars. I think sometimes you need stars to emerge. So he's admitting that on paper, you don't have Aaron Judge on this team. Mm-hmm. And on paper, you don't have a young player like Nico who's necessarily going to hit. You're looking at him saying, ah, he could explode for 40 this year, you know? That guy's just not necessarily on the roster. But could you see Morel have more home runs? Could you see Mervis emerge as the home run star that they've been looking for?
I think Seiya is the one that's most likely that could emerge into something
more than Mervis even?
Yeah. I think he's the one who could emerge into something bigger than even most of the stands expect. He was that good in Japan, and now he's got one full year in the United States, a little bit more comfortable, you know, like, yeah. I think that plays a big part. And he really was great in the second half of last season. Now, I don't know if he's going to hit 40 bombs, but I think just being an overall better hitter and a real threat in the middle of the Cubs lineup, I think there's reason to believe in that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
that'd be a big boost, right?
Say is there, you know, Dansby, if he can bring that 25, I think he had 27 home runs, like 2021 and 25 this past season. If he can keep bringing that, like, that's a lot of power that you're going to need. It's not 40 home runs, like Cody said with Seiya. I don't think anyone on this team has that ability right now. Maybe Wisdom does, and if he gets a full season of playing time, and if he's not, I mean, if he cut down the strikeout rate a lot throughout the season, if he can continue to do that, make better contact with the ball, maybe he can get to like the 35 home run range. But that's an if. You know, I don't think anyone for sure has 35 to 40 home run power. Well,
the Cubs are paying him that they think that he can be a star, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that he's I think he had a good year as far as, like, first year transitioning, like, not having a regular spring, all that kind of stuff.
It could have been better, but it could have been worse, too.
It could have been a lot worse, and just in the context of everything.
Right. So it was a good rookie year. You saw everything that you would expect out of a rookie, the highs, the lows, and who knows what would have happened if he didn't get hurt. But he really did kind of figure it out in that second half last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's reason to believe that he can be way better than what we saw last season.
Do you think Sale hit more homers than Bellinger will this year? It's interesting because, obviously, Bellinger, again, we talk about a high-ceiling guy. He's the guy with the highest ceiling of anybody on the team, probably.
Yeah.
He's a former MVP. Yeah. The only didn't do it that long ago with the hitting coach that's here, the hitting instructors that are here were with him.
The thing that holds me
right. How many runs did he hit that year?
47?
47, yeah.
Does that sound right?
So potentially, but it takes.
I don't think Say has got 47 potential. No. That's why I say he's the highest ceiling, but I don't know if he's more likely to hit more home runs than Say.
I think when you look at the two, Bellinger has the higher ceiling, but Say has the higher floor. I think Say is going to have a good year. I mean, he may be in the 20-ish range of home runs, maybe a couple less, maybe a couple more, but that's like that feels like his floor. And Bellinger, it's just we've seen the last couple of years how far he's fallen from that MVP year, that if he could get close to that MVP season, that's insane and very good for the Cubs. But he could also have another season where his WRC plus is like in the 70s, 80s, or below that, and he's, you know, I think he's a little more volatile of a player, where Say probably has a pretty good floor, a little more limited of a ceiling than Bellinger has, but you at least know a little more what you're going to get from Say this year.
He's more he'll be more consistent potentially than what you're getting in Bellinger, right? You're right. The floor is higher. I saw somebody saying.
Why is Joe saying we're let Luke talk?
I don't know.
Says we're talking over Luke.
I'd probably talk too much, let's be honest. I like the idea of Bellinger. I think Bellinger will do better at Wrigley Field. I think the change of scenery will be good for him. But if I had to pick one guy who would hit more home runs this year, boy, that's a tough call. Saya or Bellinger?
The only thing that holds me back on saying Saya could hit more home runs than Bellinger is that Saya, yeah, he has power, but he also shown to hit for contact too. And we've seen Bellinger hit 47 for the Dodgers. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the home run total increases for Saya this year. And same thing for Bellinger. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying is the Bellinger has the higher ceiling just because he's done it before. Yeah. But the floor is also lower than what Saya. So, his number he could hit 30, he could hit 10. Like, you know, you don't really know just because the last couple of years have shown that there's things he has to work on, of course, and get just to get healthy is part of that. Mm-hmm. Say as a little, he feels a little more like you can kind of expect a decent home run total, which may or may not end up being higher than Cody Bellinger's, just because that's more of a toss up to me.
Niren has an interesting point on the chat saying it'll be Saya because Belly will be flipped at the deadline. The interesting part about flipping Bellinger is that let's say Cody Bellinger plays like an MVP. Guys, the Cubs are going to be in the mix for the division.
Yeah.
If Cody Bellinger plays like early career Cody Bellinger, the Cubs are going to be in the mix for the division. They're not going to flip him. And if he's bad WRC plus Cody Bellinger, I don't think it's going to be that easy to flip him anyway. Like, if you're having a mediocre season and you're in third place and you're a seller at the deadline, that likely means potentially Bellinger hasn't been one of those guys. And so I don't know how much you are flipping him to a team.
You flip him for a piece kind of like what you got for Jock Peterson. Like, that would be probably what
you could get. If he's having that type of season.
Yeah, if he's having a average season.
But I see what Niren's saying. Like, Saya's not going to be flipped.
Yeah, but if they flip Saya, they would get a ton in return, but they're not going to.
Michael Collada says four or five guys in the lineup are going to be flipped at the deadline, right, Tom? Collada does not give up. He will not
give up, man. I've been getting a lot of complaints that we give Collada too much.
No, he keeps us grounded.
Yeah.
He keeps
and grounded. That's what I tell them too. I'm like, he keeps us grounded. So
yeah, he's like he's like one of like there's a lot of, you know how like they call the Seahawks fans the 12th man.
Yeah.
Like Kalad, like everyone in the chat's like the fourth man, but Kalad is one of those like 3.9.
Would appreciate if Kalad sent more super chats, but you know.
But he always points out the likes, which we would like more likes, by the way.
He would.
And if you're just downloading this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please subscribe to the podcast. We'd appreciate that. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel and subscribe there so you don't miss any of our future podcasts. You'll just have them right there, ready to go. Ingest them that way. Really, YouTube is the best way to do it because you get to see the chat. You get to interact live.
Yes.
It's the way to have the most fun, experience it the most fun. It's more fun for us, right? But either way, likes, positive reviews, 5-star reviews, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Three ways you can help out the CHGO Cubs.
And super chats. That way they send us to London.
And the super chats. Yeah. And the super chats.
Fund our way to London.
Please.
So Cody, you know, Cody went to Cubs convention and he was out and about for both. You weren't there Sunday, were you?
No.
Yeah, you were there Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday.
He was out with the people and Cody had this little mini microphone. It sort of looked like he was holding a nipple, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's my itty bitty microphone.
It's a tiny little thing. It's a tiny little microphone. It looks like a gumdrop. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're holding a gumdrop. And he went out and you asked the hard hitting questions that we were looking for. I said, this would be a good idea. I'd like to know what some of these people think. And so Cody,
hard hitting questions.
Cody went around Cubs convention. This was your TikTok.
This is on CHGO Sports TikTok.
Yeah. Talk.
Which on
one's
our
first,
Instagram.
The talk or the tick?
The tick.
Okay, TikTok. All right, let's take a
classic
listen.
Classic stuck.
Over, under, 78 wins for the Cubs next season.
Over.
I think it's over.
Who leads the Cubs in strikeouts next year?
Well, I hate to say it, but I think it might be Hap. You know, I mean.
Oh, I'm talking about for pitchers.
Oh, pitchers?
Oh, wow.
I did. Okay. Sorry.
But, sorry, Ian.
But for pitchers, I'm going to say it probably be Stroman.
Hayden Wesneski. But since I don't think he'll start the season in the opening rotation, I'm gonna take a flyer on Tyone.
I think especially off of Hendricks last year with his injury. I know he's more of a ground ball guy, but I think this year, I think he's definitely primed to surprise some people, and he's definitely gonna come out and be punching guys out with his changeup.
If you could go on a road trip with any past or current Cub, who would it be?
Dansby Swanson.
I think Ian Happ's pretty cool.
Anthony Rizzo.
Who should be the next former Cub to be in the Cubs Hall of Fame?
Bob Dernier.
That's different. I didn't see him play, but that's interesting.
Now you're killing me. I didn't see him play.
Kerry Wood.
Sammy Sosa, right?
Absolutely. We've asked this question to so many people, and they haven't even said it.
Are you serious? No, yes. Sammy?
Whole generation of fans all because of that man. Slam it, Sammy. Put him in.
Mark Grace.
Well, he is going in already. They announced it today or yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? How long is the longest Cub snake in the bleachers this year?
Oh, I'm going to go with 564 feet.
400 feet. Ooh.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be super long out there. They like to party. Who doesn't like to drink? It's going to be a great time.
But we're looking for a number, though.
One doubt if it's going to be, you know, a good 120 feet.
Man, I think we should try to go from the left field foul pole all the way to the right field foul pole. I think that's got to be the goal. But usually it's left field sucks, right field sucks. I said we come together for the Cubs name.
There's some favorite parts in that, for sure. The first is the gentleman that says Ian Happ's going to strike out the most. And I'm like, well, I would pick Wisdom out of that group, by the way.
Yeah.
But that he thought you were talking about hitters.
Yeah. Like,
well, he just went negative pitchers. In his mind right out.
I just automatically thought that guy was Kalata.
It could have been Kalata.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun just like walking around asking people questions and then running into Joey Molinaro. Me and Casey, our social media director, literally ran after him when we saw him. and I was DMing him on the CHGO Cubs Twitter account this morning. And told him next time he's in Chicago, he's more than welcome to come in to our West Loop studio. So he said, no doubt.
That's good. The prospects good. Are good.
Yeah.
The prospects are good for that to happen.
So I'm hoping that happens. He was very nice to just stop. He was with his wife and kid and everything. Like, So it was cool that he was a part of that. And yeah, and we, you know, during the process of doing that, some people didn't know who we were. Most of the people didn't know who we were. And we told them who we were, and they were like, oh, how do I find this? And then we just take them right to YouTube, hit the subscribe button on their phone for them, and
here we go.
Hopefully they're watching right now.
And you were just like. We went through every show and just hit likes.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Because we like likes.
Exactly.
Right.
I also loved the little kid that you asked a little kid, who would you like to road trip with? I want to be like, Mark Grace for the beers. Like, what is he going to?
Like a five-year-old kid, Dansby Swanson.
Of all the people you asked, this little kid's Dansby Swanson.
I don't know.
And then do they actually measure the cup snake? The COVID cup? Do we have measurements on the lawn?
I feel like it's kind of like
what was the answer?
I don't. There is no answer. It was just trying to get someone to say something crazy. And,
gotcha. Yeah.
And like Joey said, from left field to right field foul pole.
Everyone's coming together. I like that idea. Everyone should come together in the bleachers to make that happen. But I think it's kind of like when they measure home runs and they're like, oh, projected distance.
Yeah.
Like, no one actually. They don't have a tape measure out like as. As much as Pat Hughes says it, no one actually brings a tape measure out to do that. So that's probably how they do. They just have, you know, a little, the full camera. They're like, okay, it goes from here to here. That's this many feet. There you go.
Yeah.
That's
Ronnie, did you notice that COVID cup has long curves, very windy, a little blue, a little red?
And you see that one guy, he looks super hammered.
Shimmering beer coming out of each cup along
that
with
beer
some
snake
saliva.
Is going from left field foul pole to right field foul pole. Get out the tape measure.
Get out the tape measure, yeah. So anyways, that was fun.
It was cool to just, you know, some of the people that stopped me and like said, you know, listen to the show and all that kind of stuff. It was cool. That was probably my favorite part. I think I said that on Monday, but yeah. That was probably my favorite part of the convention was just talking to people.
Sorry, who would you road trip with?
Who would I road trip with? You know how I am about vibes.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have vibes on this
right,
roster.
Right, so that's tough.
In the past.
Who are you going to vibe with?
Current roster, I'd love to road trip with Morrell because vibes.
Vibes.
Past, would say World Series roster, if I were to road trip with someone, Dexter Fowler.
Oh, I bet Dex would be fun. Yeah. That's a good one.
And we both have the best shoes.
What about Strope?
Oh,
Stropey.
You see the video? Crazy. Hector Gomar, I threw it in Slack last night.
He's got a song. I couldn't play it. It said I had some setting. It wouldn't play it.
What?
I couldn't get it to play
child
it.
Privacy.
I must have some setting on it.
My goodness.
He must have set a swear word in it or something. I don't know. But it wouldn't play. But he's
no shirt, just like
singing
vibing.
Song? Was he was singing.
Singing
right?
Something that I can't understand because I don't know Spanish. But, yeah.
Pitch and in catch the Slack channel?
It's in the Slack channel.
Pitch and catch said John Lackey.
Oh, John Lackey? I don't know. What about Lester?
There you go.
Yeah, they just had the big John Lester retirement party that everybody was talking about, and Ross said, yeah, we had a few beers.
I was going to say,
I bet that was some kind of party.
Yeah. You and
a lot of Budweiser.
You're a dad. You and Soriano can go on the road in hot dad summer shirts.
That's right.
There you go.
Go down to the beach. So,
let me tell you, Soriano if you're talking about past guys, Soriano probably be a lot of fun to hang out with too.
Oh yeah,
a lot of good stories probably.
Who else was sort of just
Tony Campana, just because I'm a great friend of the guy. I consider him a friend. Yeah.
A great, we said great friend at first.
Nobody's saying Joe Madden. I think Joe Madden would be fun to go around and have a bunch of beers.
He wouldn't shut up. You wouldn't even need to talk.
Yeah, if you went on a cross country road trip with Joe Madden, his stories would take up literally
in the Winnebago
the entire trip.
Go in the Winnebago.
Yeah.
Ryan Dempster. Demp would be fun to tour around with.
Yeah. He'd have a lot of jokes.
Who do you think's leading the team in strikeouts, you asked?
For pitchers.
Yeah, for pitchers. Please don't. Let's not take this a negative direction.
Harry
Dubb says that's
Banowski,
a good one, too.
Banowski said that if Wesneski would be in the rotation opening day, then maybe him, but then said Tyone, and I kind of agree with him on that. Mm-hmm. I think he can be way better than what a lot of people are expecting. Because I think the Cubs pitching infrastructure, pitch lab, whatever you're going to call it, can really unlock the potential of a number two overall pick that he was. You know what I mean?
I'd pick Steele.
Yeah, I was leaning a little more towards Steele.
Yeah.
Because I think he might pitch the most innings, and he's got the strikeout potential.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you could really – that's a good – I don't know if that's on DraftKings, but that'd be a good one to try and put out there for a bet, like which Cubs pitcher will lead the team in strikeouts.
I think those two have the potential to be like top two for sure. Yeah. You know,
Stroman's
like
Stro, the contact.
Yeah, Stro had some appearances last year where he had like 7-8 strikeouts in a game, but he also had ones where he'd, you know, have 2 or 3. So on a consistent basis over a course of 30 starts, I'd say Tyone and Steele definitely have the highest potential to be able to do that.
If Wisniewski makes the opening day roster
and doesn't and is in the rotation the entire year.
But even if he's in the bullpen and he's one of these 3-inning guys for his first full season, that's a lot of opportunities to strike out guys if he's doing that 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's
I think the good thing is the fact that you are like that. There's the argument for multiple guys tells you, it should at least tell you that there's good pitchers on this team, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the other way. We know there's not. It's not just because everyone's bad. Like we know that it's because there's a few good pitchers out here that have potential to be that number one. Guy you throw out there racks up the strikeouts. Like there's a few guys on this team that could potentially do that, and that's from where the Cubs are at right now. That's really good for them.
I think. How about Manrod, by the way, yesterday? Ooh. And I don't know a whole lot about the guy from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I just know the guy from the Blue Jays throws hard.
Is it Julian Merriweather?
That's what
I'm
saying. Could he be in the mix if he actually is on the opening day roster?
A lot of the nerds on Twitter were super excited about
94th percentile fastball velocity. So
yeah.
He brings some heat.
Steele has 126 strikeouts last season. I think with the Lester approach, he's over 150 from our guy, Mike Dubs. Very good.
Cody, big Steele fan.
Do you have a DraftKings pick of the week for us?
Do you have something from the NFL?
Do you have something from the NBA? Or are you going college hoops with us?
All right. I'll give you two because I'll give you one for tonight and I'll give you one for Sunday. Or Saturday, whatever day the Giants play. We'll go with the NFL first. Giants +7.5. I hammered it on Monday when I saw that they are a touchdown dog to the Eagles who are coming off the bye. I couldn't help it. Like, it was so attractive. It was like seeing a girl or something that I had never seen before that was super hot. I saw Giants +7.5, and I hammered it, all right? That's my pick of the week. Pick of the night. Sorry, Ryan, I'm taking Arkansas money line.
Mizzou pick of the week is Mizzou money line for me.
I also like Providence and Marquette to go over 152. So if you like points, there you go.
Yeah, very much so. Game Time, the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It's all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Bulls tickets created by the fans for the fans, guaranteeing the lowest price. And if you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. We're excited about tomorrow's podcast. We are going to talk about a new list of top prospects that came out just today. And
from
maybe,
Baseball America, right?
Yeah, Baseball America, the positive spin that may have on – and also where guys are ranked individually is sort of interesting, I think, for those three guys. And we're also going to play the first of one of our longer sit-down interviews that Ryan and I did with a few players. This first one will be with Adbert Alzolay. And first of all, I'll tell you this. Every guy we sat down with, great. They were all really, really good, really engaged, all had a good time. I told Alzolay, though, he's just got a vibe, you know? Mm-hmm. He's got a little bit of that. He's got a little bit of that Strope vibe. You know, he's
a little swagger.
He's got a little swagger. He's a little funny. He came in with bright orange, neon orange high tops and like, bleached out jeans. And he just came in. He wanted, you know, He was happy to talk, and he also talked about some more serious stuff. And, again, as I teased yesterday, he talked about roles on the Cubs pitching staff and also within the bullpen, which I thought were interesting takes.
I know a few people on there have asked about Alzolay bullpen roles and asked if – I know Gary, I'm pretty sure earlier in the show asked if we're going to talk about, you know, Alzolay and bullpen roles.
Yeah.
But we will just – tune back in tomorrow because there's a lot of good stuff in that interview with Alzolay that kind of clarifies that, yeah.
120. Be here.
120. Live.
Be square. 23 hours from now.
Yes.
120 live. Somebody said, subscribe. Garrett wants to know, anybody catch The Whale yet? I don't know. That's a movie? See how out of it I am? Somebody said, yeah, good movie.
10-unit parlay? Is that
The Whale? Is that like Moby Dick?
How do you have time to watch The Whale when you're just watching CHGO podcasts on replay over and over, and you just go back and watch again, like it again, like it again, like it again?
Subscribe, turn on alerts so you don't miss the show.
Make new accounts so you can keep liking them.
That's a good point right there too, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Sarah. We appreciate that. And thank you to everybody in the chat. We had a good time today. Another good chat, especially for just a random Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Cloudy Wednesday in Chicago.
And shout out to Blue Dabs, who continues to come up with the best names for me. This time, Dell Bad Picks.
Dell Bad Picks.
So
he wants you to pick Dallas.
Del Prompto was my favorite. Wasn't that what it was the beginning of the show? Because we were on time.
Del Punctual.
Del Prompto would have been the one.
That's
what it should. Del Prompto. From now on, that's what we want out of you.
Del Punctual.
Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. We'll see it in 120. Al Zelaya interview and more. Until then, thanks for watching and fly the W.